notice this. You know, I mentioned the fact that the Apostle Paul was a prisoner when he gave the men the advice that they really needed in order to keep moving forward. So notice this as well. He urged them to take food. So the person who had the right information stepped up and conveyed that information. What else happened that caused this to really work well for everyone? The people listening accepted the information. And as a result, they were a lot better off. They were all encouraged and ate some food themselves. Altogether, there were 267 of us on board. Us, Luke, the physician, is the one who was writing this book. And as it turns out, Luke actually made a number of missionary voyages, missionary journeys with the Apostle Paul. And so that's the reason you're hearing us. So there were 276 of us on board. When they had eaten as much as they wanted, they lightened the ship by throwing the grain into the sea. When daylight came, they did not recognize the land, but they saw a bay with a sandy beach where they decided to run the ship aground if they could. So cutting loose the anchors, they left them in the sea and at the same time untied the ropes that held the rudders. Then they hoisted the foresail to the wind and made for the beach. But the ship struck a sandbar and ran aground. The bow stuck fast and would not move, and the stern was broken to pieces by the pounding of the surf. The soldiers planned to kill the prisoners to prevent any of them from swimming away and escaping. But the centurion wanted to spare Paul's life and kept them from carrying out their plan. A point of resilience. The soldiers were planning to kill the prisoners, but the centurion wanted to spare Paul's life. He valued Paul enough that he was really ready to step up and protect Paul, keep him from being killed. He ordered those who could swim to jump overboard first and get to land. Who is willing to go to bat for you and say to those who would try to destroy you, try to kill you, try to mess you up, don't do it. Leave him alone. Leave her alone. Well, those who could swim were ordered to jump overboard first and get to land. The rest were to get there on planks or on pieces of the ship. In this way, everyone reached land in safety. Now, let's continue. We're moving into Acts chapter 28. I'd like for you to be listening for points of resilience, points that will come up that will help us understand, help us recognize how to build resilience. Okay, so here we go. And again, we're talking about bouncing back. Is something going to help us rebuild the ship? Is something going to help us eat well? Is something going to help us drink well? What may be considered an item that can help us bounce back? All right. Acts chapter 28, beginning at verse 1. Once safely on shore, remember they had been able to get that ship headed towards ground. All right. So here we are now. The islanders showed us unusual kindness. The land that they landed on was actually an island, and that island was called Malta. The islanders showed them unusual kindness. They built a fire and welcomed us all because it was raining and cold. Paul gathered a pile of brushwood, and as he put it on the fire, a viper, driven out by the heat. When the islanders saw the snake hanging from Paul's hand, they said to each other, "This man must be a murderer, for though he escaped from the sea, Justice has not allowed him to live. But Paul shook the snake off into the fire and suffered no ill effects. The people expected him to swell up or suddenly fall dead. But after waiting a long time and seeing nothing unusual happen to him, they changed their minds and said he was a god. And said he was a god. There was an estate nearby that belonged to Publius, the chief official of the island. He welcomed us to his home and for 3 days entertained us hospitably. His father was sick in bed, suffering from fever and dysentery. Paul went in to see him and after prayer, placed his hands on him and healed him. When this had happened, the rest of the sick on the island came and were cured. They honored us in many ways. Yes, they honored us in many ways, and when we were ready to sail, they furnished us with the supplies we needed. After 3 months, we put out to sea in a ship that had wintered in the island. It was an Alexandrian ship with the figurehead of the twin gods Castor and Pollux. We put in at Syracuse, stayed there 3 days. From there, we set sail and arrived at Rhegium. The next day, the south wind came up, and on the following day, we reached Puteoli. There, we found some brothers who invited us to spend a week with them, and so we came to Rome. Now, notice that. We had talked previously about Paul's opportunity to visit some friends because the Roman centurion gave him the right to do that. Now he's visiting again and he's spending a week with them. I tell you what, this is so interesting that they would be about the business of checking out what was happening. They reached Puteoli, and there we found some brothers who invited us to spend a week with them, invited us. Man, when you have brothers who are truly brothers, sisters who are truly sisters, who can provide serious support for you during your time of need, that's huge. That is huge, ladies and gentlemen. That is huge. We want to be able to know that we can count on our friends to be there with us when we need them. Of course, be with us when we don't need them as well. We don't want to give the impression that we're just trying to take advantage of people. Now, that's not cool. The brothers there had heard that we were coming, and they traveled as far as the Forum of Appius and the three taverns to meet us. They heard that they were coming and traveled quite a distance to meet them. Now, you suppose that helped Paul bounce back? How many of you caught that as a potential bounce back moment? Yeah, this is one where the people can really be helped by that. Again, Paul being helped by friends. All right, stay with me.